This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
Most love songs are about new love, because that's the exciting part, passionate and urgent. There aren't a lot of songs looking forward to old love, to what real love mellows into. Contentment, tranquility, domestic placidity, sitting on the back porch as the sun sets on just another day.
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill.
Someday,
we may be adding a wing or two, a thing or two. We will make changes as any family will, but we will always be called the folks who live on the hill.
That's Eric Clapton, and no, it's not the usual rocker with a midlife crisis sloughing off a third-rate standards album, but a guy entirely at ease with himself, noodling a song he's always loved. Not sure about those backing singers, but no one ever asked me. If I tell you those words are by Oscar Hammerstein II, you may be thinking, oh yeah, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma, Carousel, South Pacific, The King and I, The Sound of Music, those guys. Well, no. Had Richard Rodgers, original lyricist, not completely self-destructed, and had Oscar Hammerstein's longest-serving composing partner not collapsed on a New York street, the team known to posterity might be Kern and Hammerstein, as in Jerome Kern, the Dean of American Theatre Composers. Here am I, long ago and far away, to quote a Kern song, with Jerome Kern's godson and Oscar Hammerstein's son, James Hammerstein.
Yes, Jerry and Dad were linked. They spent a lot of time together, even when they weren't writing a show or a movie. And he was part of my household when I was a little child. The songs he wrote were always surprising harmonically and were melodically just so lush. And at the same time, he had humor in his music. And the man's humor is what I remember the best, I think. And I think you sense it in the music.
I know that your father enjoyed an exceptionally long collaboration with him over the years. There were other lyric writers he worked with who said that they found him a little difficult. How did your father get on with him?
I think that he just loved him a lot. You know, I think that Jerry was a very mischievous, very outspoken man. His weakness was he could break up so badly that he couldn't stop laughing. Now, any man who can do that, I can't see as being as fierce as they say he is.
This was Hammerstein's first really big song with Kern.
Who stole my heart away? Who makes me dream all day? Dreams I know can never come true. Seems as though I'll ever be blue. Who would I answer yes to? Well, you ought to guess who. No one but you.
Do Jerome Kern's music, words by Oscar Hammerstein and Otto Harbach from 1925. Neither Hammerstein nor Harbach is known as a slick rhymester like Larry Hart or Cole Porter, but take a listen to that rhyme scheme. Dreams I know can never come true, seems as though I'll ever be blue. Wow, who came up with that? Just 2 years later, Kern and Hammerstein produced not just another cute, fun song, but a true masterpiece, Showboat.
I wanted to talk just briefly about Showboat. I mean, everybody has said perhaps everything there is to say about it, but I think to an awful lot of us, we regard it as the show in which your father finally found his lyrical voice with, you know, fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly, I gotta love one man till I die. I think that, to me, marks the point where Oscar Hammerstein began his great years.
Yes, I think it's almost an anomaly that a man 33 could write so many good lyrics in one show. Kern was a bit older, so I guess I can't bring up the age differential. It was a magnificent score musically, and it had Old Man River, which is an incredible lyric if you analyze it. When you throw in a few like, Why Do I Love You and Only Make Believe, You Are Love and Can't Help Loving That Man, it's a score that has no explanation for it. It was ahead of its time, it was a one-off, it hasn't been really surpassed ever. And it happened when my father was a reasonable young man and in an era where silly musicals with silly books with silly middle European comedians were the rule. Not only did Jerry and my father not do that, but try to embed the songs into the actual characters in the story, but they went further than that, and Jerry particularly had leitmotifs that represented the characters that wove in and out, almost imperceptibly, but terribly emotionally. He was a dramatist with music, and that's different from a tunesmith or a songwriter. It's a brilliant piece of work that came several years before anything like it happened again, even by those particular men. They didn't duplicate it again for years.
So why didn't they duplicate it? Sometimes it's nothing to do with music or words, but geography. After the Wall Street crash, a lot of New York composers and lyricists moved west to Hollywood. Some liked the California life and others didn't.
Jerry stayed in Hollywood. I couldn't figure out why, but Dad came back. I think that's what really split it, the 3,000 miles between the two coasts. And it became difficult, and the last time they worked together was Very Warm for May, which had a couple of very good songs, including a big standard, All the Things You Are, but that was an effort for Jerry. His home was on the coast, his livelihood was on the coast, and my father just didn't cut Hollywood. He just didn't like it. He didn't like writing for movies, he didn't like going to the studio every morning, being picked up in a limousine and shanghaied to write in some studio. He just hated it all. And so I think that's what split them up.
It wasn't demanding work, what he did in Hollywood. It certainly wasn't as demanding as what he'd been trying to do in the theatre. Why do you think Kern was happy there and your father wasn't?
Jerry was 10 years older than my father, about. And that would have an effect. He was very comfortable in Hollywood. And he seemed to want a kind of contentment, I guess, where my father couldn't seem to breathe away from New York City. Needed the smog. I don't know. Jerry wrote some fine stuff with Dorothy Fields afterwards. He wrote a couple of movies with Dad, and then he wrote with Dorothy.
Someday, when I'm awfully low and the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Oh, but you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft. There is nothing for me but to love you just the way you look tonight.
He seemed to do better with the Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers kind of team, and I think they wrote good movies. I don't think Dad and Jerry wrote good movies together. I don't think Dad really came to grips with the form, maybe. It didn't interest him enough.
Well, you say that, but of course one of the loveliest songs by Kern and Hammerstein did come from a film, The Folks Who Live on the Hill. Admittedly, I wouldn't care too much to hear the original film performance these days.
I'm all out of breath.
Good, then I can do all the talking. You want to know what I brought you up to show you?
Yes, what?
It's going to be right here.
What's going to be right here?
The house I'm building for you.
Peter!
It can be painted white. If you like white houses, I hope you do.
Oh, I love white houses. And I love you for wanting to build it for me up here on our hill. But, darling, you've got a house.
Oh, Grandma'll stay in that one. She says a young couple ought to be alone. Come on, sit down. I'll tell you about it. I was up here this morning staking the whole thing up.
Where's the front porch going to be?
Oh, it's going to be a beauty. Runs across here, 30 feet, and facing south.
Oh, Peter.
Irene Dunne in High, Wide and Handsome, 1937. A year before, she had been tremendous in the film version of Showboat, but The Folks Who Live on the Hill was written for a man to sing, and the verse is explicitly masculine, and so they had to ditch that. And Miss Dunne is singing there in such a high key, what was it, D-flat, that the voice buries the lazy, loping accompaniment that, as Kern told Hammerstein, is a vital part of the song. On the other hand, the pop hit version is all accompaniment and not so much of the song. Guy Lombardo with vocals by Brother Carmen.
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. Someday we may be adding a thing or two, a wing or two. We will make changes as any family will. But we will always be called the folks who live on the hill.
Is that really where your father's lyrical heart was, that sort of contentment and that sort of rural idyll? I think he once made a remark about how he didn't want to write music for people in penthouses. The Folks Who Live on the Hill, is that the kind of archetypal Hammerstein lyric?
I think it is, really. I mean, after all, he did end up in a farm in Bucks County next to my mother on two rocking chairs, looking it over and feeling pretty contented with life. For a city boy, it seemed to be an ambition.
Our veranda will command a view of meadows green, the sort of view that seems to want to be seen. And when the kids grow up and sit and look. the folks who like to be called what they have always been called, the folks who live on the hill.
He was extremely intelligent and quite sophisticated, and yet he wrote best. If one were to throw the word genius about, it would be that he could write so simply without being banal. He was into writing ballads, and he was into writing people's thoughts in the simplest and the most singable way possible. He knew what he was about. He wanted to write about simple people. He wanted to write emotions that everybody could understand in words that everybody could understand, without being cliched. And yeah, he was the best at that.
Someday, we'll build a home on a hilltop high. You and I, shiny and new. Cottage that two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. And someday we may be adding a thing or two, a wing or two. We will make changes as any fan will. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill.
I wondered whether your father, did he consider that one of his great songs?
Yes, I think he would recognize that that was one of his really, really good songs. And oddly enough, you know where you hear it the most frequently? If you go to some little lounge and there's a jazz group playing, you will hear the folks who live on the hill. Or if you walk up to a jazz pianist or a jazz bassist and say, do you know the folks who live on the hill? They'll say yes, and they'll play it, because they're all fascinated by the development of the music. It is brilliant. Parenthetically, Kern affected my life by, when he was 5 years old, putting a dish towel over a keyboard and playing beautifully through it, after which I was so fascinated with the piano that I studied for the next 15 years. In so doing, in becoming a piano major in a university, I realized that, yes, that's a pretty good song. Tell you what I like about Jerry, his verses, which are very often not played, are as carefully wrought as the choruses that have made him famous. And when you go over a score and you look at the verses, I mean, the care that went into them, to write one of those verses would, for me, would be, I wouldn't have to write one of his choruses. If I could just write one of his verses, I'd be happy.
Many men with lofty aims try for lofty goals, and others play at smaller games, being simpler souls. I am of the latter brand. All I want to do is to find a plot of land and live there with you. Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop. You and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill.
Before you get balladed out, does rural contentment have to be like that? Don't look now, but the folks who live on the hill are doing a cha-cha.
Barbara and the will command a view of meadow green, the sort of view that seems to want to be seen. And when the kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at that same old view. Just we two, Darby and Joan, who used to be Jack and Jill, the folks who like to be called what they have always been called, the folks who live on the hill.
Darby and Joan swaying to those exotic Latin rhythms. There goes the neighborhood.
And when the kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at that same old view. Just we two, Darby and Joan, who used to be Jack and Jill, the folks who like to be called what they have always been.
Miss Betty Madigan with a somewhat counterintuitive take on that song. As James Hammerstein was saying, Jerome Kern loved Hollywood. He was not just a great composer, but a shrewd businessman. There are lots of people who write hit songs and never make any money from them. But Kern made money not only from his music, but from his hobbies. He had a valuable silver collection. He bought first editions of rare books, and his home, in that sense, couldn't have been further away from the folks who live on the hill.
Yeah, I can still remember his house in California. It was full of books. It was had a great piano, it had a harp, and a lot of silver. And I was about 6 years old the last time I think I walked into that, but I can still remember it. Jerry was somebody you just couldn't help loving. I know he had a reputation for being spiky, I guess the word is. But I know that when my father, when he died, it was a terrible shock. It was right before they were going to rehearsal with the revival of Showboat. And he just, I think it was 57th Street, he just dropped. He had a stroke and was taken without any identification to that island in the middle of the East River called Welfare Island, I guess, and there's a hospital there. And then he was transferred, I think, to another hospital when they found out who he was. And I don't think he ever really regained full consciousness.
And your father, I think, was also with him at the time he died.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high. You and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called folks who live on the hill. Someday we may be adding a wing or two, a thing or two. We will make changes as any family will, but we will always be called the folks who live on the hill. Meadows green, the sort of view that seems to want to be seen. And when the kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at that same old, just we two, Baby and Joe, who used to be Jack and Jill. The folks who like to be called what they have always been called. The folks who live on the hill.
A song from Me to You, Peggy Lee, arranged by Nelson Riddle, but conducted by Frank Sinatra. Sometimes Frank sings the definitive version of a standard, other times he's content merely to conduct it. Miss Lee took a slight liberty with Oscar Hammerstein's lyric and replaced Darby and Joan with Baby and Joe. Darby and Joan has faded now as the proverbial shorthand for an old, contented married couple, but it had a good run for 2 centuries in multiple poems and songs that we could really do a whole show on, and maybe we will. Jerome and Eva Kern never got to be Darby and Joan, to grow old together and sit and look at the same old view, just we two, but he captured it in music for everyone.
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and produced for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin.